So today, I thought I would go back to the book of Job. You remember we left off with the book of Job in around the holiday season last year, and I said I would come back to it. And what's so interesting about the Word of God is that it's so applicable. When you open it up and begin to read, it's so applicable for where you are living life right at this moment. And how much more so as we come back to the book of Job, is the book of Job applicable to where we're living? Because the book of Job is all about suffering and trial. And who's not suffering? Not a hand in here could go up. Because every one of us is suffering something. Every one of us is enduring something that we'd rather not have to go through. We're in a place we'd rather not really want to be in. We're experiencing relational or emotional or mental or spiritual or you name it, afflictions that we would rather not have to endure. And so as we come to the book of Job, we left off in Job chapter 7. Man, I love this book because it's just so real. And I know some people believe that the book of Job is not true. But verse 1 of chapter 7 says this: "Is there not a time of hard service for man on earth? Is there not a time of hard service?" Anybody ever worked hard? Hello, come on. I sleep good at night. Let me tell you right now. Work hard every day. And Job says, is there not a time of hard service? The Amplified version says, is there not an appointed warfare? The word carries a military connotation to it. Is there not an appointed warfare and hard labor to man upon the earth? Are not his days like the days of a hired man? Are not his days? You know, the days of a hired man are like this. We all know what those days are like. The days of a hired person, when you get up tomorrow morning. Now, some people can say, well, I'm not going to work today. Some people can do that, but they can't do that with Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. Why? Because you're a hired man. And you know what that means? You got to labor. Oh, you gonna work. You gotta go punch that clock or fill out that time clock, but you are going to labor. And Job says that's what his trial was like. He said, I don't get to get a break. I don't get to say, no, I don't want to go through this. Are not his days like the days of a hired man? The Living Bible says how mankind must struggle. A man's life is long and hard like that of a slave. Long and hard like that of a slave. Let's be honest. Life is wearisome. I mean, you live long enough, you're going to see, what is it, Job chapter 14 and 1, where Job says, man who is born of woman is few of days and full of trouble. Few of days and full of trouble. And amen. Hey, and everyone would say amen. And if you didn't say amen, it's because you ain't been living long enough, but just hang in there. Oh, yes. Life can be hard, church. Ask anyone in Ukraine if life isn't hard. Ask anyone in Ethiopia and Libya, Mali, Myanmar, Syria, all those places have civil wars or strife going on in them. The Congo, Uganda, yeah? All these places have conflict and suffering that the people did not choose, and they can't choose to get out of it. Just like Job could not get out of his suffering. And beloved, you live this life long enough, you're going to come into some circumstances where affliction is laid upon you. You don't get a choice. Now, these are extreme examples, but ask anyone dealing with long COVID. Thank God. Every day I wake up, I say, thank you, Jesus. I don't have any long COVID. I got some ringing in the ears, but I can still hear. Glory to God. I thank God every day. I can still hear Jesus. Thank you, Father. I didn't get long COVID. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Every one of us, in the midst of whatever affliction we are experiencing, there's still room for plenty of thanksgiving. Why do we say that? Because it could always be worse. It could always be worse. Yes. Ask anyone struggling as Job was with reoccurring or persistent illness or broken relationships or debilitating oppression or depression. Suffering. And I must be honest. When I was studying this, I'm like, Lord, I have not experienced a great deal of suffering, I guess, in my mind, as I would deem it. As I would deem it. Right. And yet we have all suffered. And suffering is a part of this life. Job, in verse 2, Job goes on and says, like a servant who earnestly desires the shade. Or like a slave who earnestly desires the shade. And like a hired man who eagerly looks for his wages, Job says, that's what his life is like. And again, a servant or a slave toiling out in the field didn't get to stand up, turn around, and say, well, I'm going to go take an hour or 2 hour break up underneath this tree, have me a nap. No, the moment you did that, a whip came down, crossed you and whipped you until you kept doing what you were not paid to do, but forced to do. That's what Job is saying. His suffering is forced upon him. He didn't choose it. He can't stand up and go rest in the shade. Why? Because it's not willful. Like a hired man who eagerly looks for his wages. He said, I wish I could get some payback from what's going on in my life. But hey, I don't know anybody that when they get their check, they say, Lord, my employer has been way too good. You've given me way too much. Here, have some of it back. No. Every hired man I know, when he get done laboring, he get that check, he look at it and go, is this it? Oh my goodness, bro. Look here. Is this all? And Job said, I can't stop. I'm a hired man. I can't get away from this affliction that I'm under. A servant or a slave wants to rest from his exhausting labor in the shade. He wants the struggle of forced labor to cease. He wants something for all the hard labor he's been expending, and it's never enough. Genesis 3, when God cursed Adam, he said, cursed be the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Now I heard people say, look here, Galatians 3:13 says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen. That's the law of Moses. Yeah, I didn't see anywhere where it's talking about this one. Hey, look here. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Oh my goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad that Christ did redeem us from that? Because we're going to return to the dust, church, but guess what? Amen. God going to reanimate the dust. Hey, look here. Look. I know you handsome now, Darian. I mean, I know you beautiful now, Melody, but you ain't nothing like what you're going to be when God, I tell you what a day that's going to be. My Lord Jesus. It's going to make all of this. It's going to make all of us say, oh, it was worth it. It was worth it. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Verse 3, Job goes on, so I have been allotted months of futility. Allotted. That word allotted means to inherit or to be given, to distribute. Job says, I have been allotted months of futility. Now, Job didn't have the benefit of the revelation that we have. He saw everything as coming from God. And he's right, ultimately. But where his troubles came from was not directly from God, was indirectly. They came directly from Satan. But ultimately, God allowed it. Do we say that? We say that about Job, right? What about us? Is it a little harder? Is God sovereign over everything that happens to you and I? He's sovereign. He's sovereign. Let me tell you what this will do, because I'm walking through this time right now, season in my life where the Lord is causing me to be okay. Listen, I expect trouble now. I expect affliction. I expect things not to work out. Why? Because that's life. Hello, that's life. So when they don't work out, I'm not mad. I'm like, oh, glory to God. Well, let's work through it. Let's go ahead and work through it. Hello? Because again, Job said, man who is born of woman is few of days and full of trouble. Okay? So trouble is part of our lot, church. Go try and find me someone alive today or at any time who has never met with trouble. Please go. I release you. Go. Hey. Come on. No, it's par for the course. It's what, and Job in his time, he says, I have been allotted. It's been given to me. That word futility means uselessness. He says, I have been allotted months of uselessness and wearisome nights have been appointed to me. That word wearisome means miserable. A state of suffering and want that is the result of poverty or affliction. One dictionary said that the definition of misery is a state of suffering and want that is a result of poverty or affliction. Ukraine is miserable right now. You know why? Because they're suffering. And they're in want of everything. Why? Because of some madman who wants to get what he wants. Right? It goes on and says about this word misery, a circumstance, thing, or place that causes suffering or discomfort, a state of great unhappiness and emotional distress, trouble. So misery is not just what happens, but the emotional distress that comes along with it. So let's get one thing straight right now. You will suffer in this life. One way or another. But you will suffer. Okay? Now, once you accept that, then it begins to get easy, because one of the worst things that can happen to you is to have people who come before you say, hey, go down this road. Everything is clear. You don't have to worry about a thing. Just go down this road right here. Because I heard that when I first got saved. He said, listen, you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Everything. No. Now, in the spirit, everything changes. Oh, yes. You leave darkness. You walk into light. Oh, my goodness. Things in the spirit change. Now, there's going to be some warfare and all that, too. But things have radically changed for your life. But in terms of living this daily walk on terra firma, oh, let me tell you something. You're going to run into some obstacles. They're going to smack you, knock you upside your head, knock you down, knock you backward. But the scripture says a righteous man falls seven times and he gets up. That number seven is a number of completion. You'll fall over and over and over and over and over again. But the Lord will raise you up. Okay? He'll raise us up. Harriet Tubman suffered traumatic brain injury. You know the story. You probably heard the story of a slave owner who threw a 2-pound weight across a store and hit her in her head, cracked her skull, some say, bleeding and so forth. And from that came migraines so intense she would pass out. She was given to hallucinations. Some would say hallucinations. Some would say, well, as they turned out to be, they were visions from God about the future. But she suffered that blow to her head. And God oftentimes uses the thing that people meant to kill you to lift you up. And what that man did in wanting to kill her, God took it and said, I'm going to use that to give you visions and revelations of how to set my people free. And that's exactly what that woman did. But she suffered. She still had migraines all her life. Yeah. She had migraines, but she also could go places and see the future. And she would walk out and see people delivered. It happened in her life, and it happens in ours too. We see it in Joseph's life. No one want to be what Joseph went through. No, who would want to be that? The only time we want to be Joseph is when he got pulled up out of the prison and got set into the palace. Second man over all the kingdom. His brothers coming and bowing down. Amen. Now we're like, hey, that's the Joseph. That's the one I'm witnessing to. Yay. Look here. I like that. See, that's the American Joseph right there. But that other business, no, those are third world countries. See, up until that was the third world. No, we don't want no part of that. Oh, I'm going to tell it. Oh, I'm going to tell it, brother. Look here. Yes, indeed. We can't hide from the truth. Ah, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oswald Chambers, you heard of him. A great preacher from England suffered great bouts of depression. Listen, let me tell you something. If men of God were to tell you the things that they suffered, you would be shocked. Matter of fact, if we all just laid it bare, we would take them off the pedestal that we have them on, and we would find out that, no, Jesus actually put them on the bottom where he was. Jesus said, humble yourself. Every person, everything that is made low, he will exalt. He said, whatever is exalted, he's going to tear it down. Right? Listen at this about Oswald Chambers, a minister of the gospel. Many Christians are familiar with Oswald Chambers' spiritual classic, My Utmost for His Highest. What many are less familiar with is Chambers' experience of profound spiritual depression. American society is generally upbeat and as upbeat and positive as is American Christianity. Oh, Lord Jesus. I read that thought. Oh, God, help me not to get up in the message and go off on this because I surely could. But let me read it again. American society is generally upbeat and positive as is American Christianity. For many of us, the thought of a spiritual leader experiencing depression is troublesome. But a spiritual leader is a man. Or a woman. Hello. Yet many great saints have suffered either with a sense of God's abandonment, as did Chambers. I determined to have all that was going. This is Chambers speaking. I determined to have all that was going in terms of spiritual experience and went to my room and asked God simply and definitely for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whatever that meant. From that day on, for 4 years, nothing but the overruling grace of God and the kindness of friends kept me out of an asylum. Now, let me read that. I want you to see. He asked God to fill him with to give him the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And for 4 years, he felt like he had literally lost his mind. To the point of where he could have been committed to an asylum. God used me during those years for the conversion of souls, but I had no conscious communion with him. Listen, I think I'll take, beat me, but let me hear Jesus' voice. Hey, let me hear Jesus say, it's all right, son, I got you. Let me hear my father talking to me. Oh, yeah, I'll take the physical punishment, but don't take that sweet voice away from me. And yet, he says, during those years for the conversion of souls, God used him, but I had no conscious communion with him. Listen at what he says. The Bible was the dullest, most uninteresting book in existence, and the sense of depravity, the vileness, and bad motiveness of my nature was terrific. He felt he was constantly aware of his own sin. Yet God was using him to save and convert people to himself. That was a form of suffering. Ever heard of Charles H. Spurgeon? They call him the Prince of Preachers. Amen. And I'm reading this and I'm like, Lord Jesus. And I'm thinking to myself, Lord, am I even qualified to preach on the book of Job now? I mean, after I read what these brothers went through, I said, Lord, am I qualified? You know, listen to this. It comes as a surprise to some that Charles Spurgeon had a lifelong battle with depression. Now, when you think of a pastor or a ministry, just think of someone on TV, some person you like, whatever. You don't think of them as wrestling with depression. You know who was wrestling with depression? The black young lady who jumped off the building, the Miss America. She was wrestling with depression. Yeah. There are all kinds of people wrestling with depression who take their lives, who take their own lives. And that's kind of the sense that we get. People who closet up. I was just talking with someone the other day who was telling me about that they have a loved one told them, said, if I could sit in my house and never come out for the rest of my life, that's what I would do. I was like, Lord Jesus, come on. I meet people from time to time, see me out, say, Pastor, can we sit down and talk? Because I'm really going through a rough time. I said, Lord Jesus, yeah, we can talk. Amen. His reputation as a famed and powerful preacher, his cheery wit and his cigar-smoking manliness might lead us to imagine that there could never be a chink in his Victorian Englishman's armor. It shouldn't be a surprise, of course, being full of life in a fallen world must mean distress, and Spurgeon's life was indeed full of physical and mental pain. At age 22, as a pastor of a large church and with twin babies at home to look after, he was preaching to thousands in the Surrey Gardens Music Hall when pranksters yelled, "Fire!" starting a panic to exit the building, which killed 7 and left 28 severely injured. He was 22 years old pastoring when this happened. His mind was never the same again. You say, why not? I think I could have made it through that. Yeah, we always, you know, do stuff like that. No. His mind was never the same again. Then from the age of 33, physical pain became a large and constant feature of life for him. He suffered from a burning kidney inflammation called Bright's disease, as well as gout, rheumatism, and neuritis. But doesn't God heal? Of course God heals. Yeah, he heals. He heals many people. Does he heal everyone? No. Why? He has his purposes. The pain was such that soon kept him from preaching for 1/3 of the time. Added to that, overwork, stress, and guilt about the stress began to take their toll. And all this was in the public eye and was jumped on by his many critics, not making it any easier to bear. The suffering, they argued, rather predictably, was a judgment from God. This is what the people said. But this is what they said about Spurgeon. Spurgeon saw that our Heavenly Father ordains suffering for believers. We'll pause and let that sink in. Yeah? Because we've had doctrine telling us for years, oh no, hey, name it and claim it. If you can believe it, you can receive it. Come on, your miracle is on its way. Just send me that seed. Send me that seed, and your children gonna be set free. Everything gonna be set free. That's what we've been told. A lot of people have been told that. Spurgeon saw that our Heavenly Father ordains suffering for believers. Though our trials may come from the world, the flesh, and the devil, they are overruled and ordained by God. We see that in the life of Joseph. Oh, the trials are going to come, but God's going to work in the midst of the trials so that they don't have their intended effect, but have his purpose in mind in my life and in yours. That's what God is doing. So they're overruled and ordained by God, who treats them as an important part of our new life in Christ. For a start, we simply could not be like Christ if we are not treated like him. Think about that. Think about that. We could not be like Christ if we were not treated like him. If we have a life of ease when he had so much pain. Do you expect to be crowned with gold while he was crowned with thorns? Jesus said, I am your master. He said, whatever they've done to me, they're going to do to you. Hello. He said, a servant is not greater than his master. So what I have gone through, likewise you. He went on to say, shall lilies grow for you and briars for him? I thought to myself, oh, I need to go meditate. I'm going to be meditating on that for a few days. Because when the briars pop up in your life, what are you going to say? Get behind me, Satan. Jesus, make this go away. Oh, now he our servant. Hello? What was it, Paul? Paul in 2 Corinthians says this, we exist for him, not he for us. God, come on, church. Come on, man. Listen, let that, come on. I'll refrigerate this truth. I can do all things through Christ who, so I'm blessed and highly favored. Come on, put that one on the refrigerator. He does not exist for us. We exist for him. So when he calls on us and says, hey, listen, this is about to happen. And be okay with it. Hey, that's what he did in Acts chapter 9 with Ananias. God chose Saul for a servant. And Ananias said, oh, no, Lord, we done heard about this man. And the Lord, so gracious, says, no, he's a servant of mine. Go do what I tell you to do. And Ananias had to humble himself. Amen. Because he had something to say to God about this situation. Acts chapter 9, verse 16. This is what the Lord said about Saul to Ananias. He said, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name. I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name. Has God showed you anything about what you must suffer for his name? I wonder, does that only apply to the Apostle Paul? Does it only apply to him? Or is there application in there for you and I that there's going to be some suffering? And there's also this. He's not going to show you everything you're going to suffer. He just said, just be willing. Just be ready when it comes your time to suffer. Because it's coming, church. It's coming. Pastor Moses shared with us at prayer last Tuesday as he was reading through the book of Acts, chapter 14 and verse 22. As Paul and Silas were going about strengthening the souls of the disciples, they were exhorting them. Oh, by the way, this was after they killed Paul, they stoned him and left him for dead. Shortly after that, Paul went to encourage the disciples and he said this to them. That they should continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations, many hardships, afflictions, sufferings, enter the kingdom of God. Through many hardships. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Listen to what Paul, and I want to show you this sandwich, if you will. How there's this sandwich in this scripture. He says this, therefore we could no longer endure it. When we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. That's the first layer of bread in this sandwich. Encourage you in your faith that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. Appointed to what? Afflictions. Paul was appointed because to affliction because of the preaching of the gospel. Amen. The persecution of the Jews. They tried to kill him everywhere he went. And he says, we are appointed. And because these people were associated with Paul, they endured afflictions as well. And so he says, we are appointed for these afflictions. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we should suffer tribulation just as it has happened. And you know, the tribulation is the meat. The tribulation is the meat. The first mention of faith is the bread. Tribulation is the meat. Then he says this. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith. Faith, tribulations, faith. Two times he mentions faith. One time he talking about the tribulation. Listen, tribulation, hard times, and suffering, affliction is a given. Let me tell you what God is looking after. Your faith. Your faith. Your faith. Come on. That's why the devil got in Job's wife and said, why don't you curse God and die? What was the devil after through his wife to get to Job? He was after his faith. Cast off your confidence in God. God doesn't care for you. You shouldn't care for him. Oh, yeah. That's what the devil really wants. God says, no, I will allow tribulation so that your faith might be bolstered, so that your faith might be encouraged. Paul said, I was concerned about your faith. Paul didn't say, oh, I'm concerned about your tribulation. I know you're going through a whole bunch of poor baby. No, he wasn't. That's what he was saying. No. He's like, how you doing with your faith? You still believe? Are you still trusting Jesus? You still relying on the Father? Because tribulations are coming. So Job had no rest from his suffering in his own mind. His current state was so bad that he was constantly looking for the current state to end and to get to a better state. And so in verse 4, he says, when I lie down, I say, when shall I rise? In other words, when I lie down, I'm so messed up. I want it to be over so I can get up. And he says, when shall I rise and the night be ended? For I have had my fill of tossing till dawn. His bed brought him no comfort. Ever been there? Yeah, he says in verse 5, my flesh is caked with worms and dust. My skin is cracked and breaks out afresh. What on earth is he talking about? My skin is caked with worms and dust. Well, some modern doctors have undertaken to look at everything through the book of Job, what he said about his illness, and they tried to figure out if he came into an office today, what would the diagnosis be? And some doctors have said it was scabies. They probably never heard of scabies. Scabies is an itchy skin condition caused by a tiny burrowing mite that gets into your skin and it burrows up underneath your skin. Doesn't that sound lovely? Look here. It says intense itching occurs in the area where the mite burrows. The urge to scratch may be especially strong at night. Scabies, this one I'm describing now, is a current condition that people experience. They just happen to think that it was what Job was going through. The eight-legged mite that causes scabies in humans is microscopic. The female burrows just beneath your skin and makes a tunnel where it deposits its eggs. The eggs hatch and the mite larvae work their way to the surface of your skin, where they mature and can spread to other areas of your skin or to skin of other people. The itching of scabies results from your body's allergic reaction to mites, their eggs, and their waste. We had a Kim Dry franchise going to a man's house who suffered. He couldn't sleep for 20 years, and it was due to a dust mite. They treated the whole man's house with dust mite. He called them the next day in tears, literally sobbing. He said, I haven't slept through the night in 20 years. He said, after you treated my home, I slept like a baby. And it was all because of mites. Now, every one of us has mites on us because that's part of life. Hey, that's part of life. Now, it's when you're allergic to them that it causes some trouble. Vigorous scratching can break your skin and allow a secondary bacterial infection such as impetigo to occur. Impetigo is a superficial infection of the skin that's caused most often by this staphylococci bacteria. or occasionally by strep bacteria. A more severe form of scabies called crusted scabies tends to make the skin crusty and scaly. Crusty and scaly. Job says, my flesh is caked with worms and dust. Some believe he had elephantitis, where your limbs grow real big and the skin dries up because of the bigness, and then your skin cracks. And once the skin cracks, the body begins to ooze with the pus and all of this business, and it is painful. You can see pictures of this on Google like I've done. I tell you what, boy, makes you, listen, you see, you give God thanks every day. Father, bless the Lord. I thank you. I thank you that, you know, I'm only wrestling with what I'm wrestling with. Tends to make the skin crusty and scaly and affects large parts of the body. Is very contagious and can be hard to treat. Normally, someone with scabies has about 10 to 15 mites. 10 to 15. In contrast, someone with crusted scabies may be infested with millions of mites. Millions. I thought, dear heavens, man. All right. Now, I've been trying to do a chapter, a sermon, but I'm in verse 6, which means I'm not going to finish this today. I'm not going to do that to you. We'll finish up next week, but I have to determine my stopping point here soon. Verse 6, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. I had to go look up a weaver's shuttle, and it's pretty fast. It's pretty fast, and while it keeps going, you know, it just whips as they're making rugs or blankets or what have you. That thing just flies across real quick. And Job said, yep, that's how my day is. There's nothing to it. He says, and my days are spent without hope. Without hope. I don't know how many times I've actually been in my life without hope. I don't know if I ever have. I just can't imagine. Without hope. Had to have been my BC days before Christ. Because Lord Jesus knows. Every day since I've been saved, I've been aware of his presence. And in his presence, he's the God of hope. Amen. So Job goes on in verse 7. And we see a plea to his friends. He says, oh, remember that my life is a breath. He's telling them, listen, fellas, my life is short. Remember that my life is a breath. My eye will never again see good. Job, in his mind, sees the end of his life coming. He's in despair. He's depressed. He's undone. He's like, dude, I'm not going to live too much longer. Why y'all coming at me the way y'all coming at me? In other words, life is short. He's telling them. And on top of that, the life, listen, if you live 100 here, that's still short. Come on, man. Life is short. And on top of it being short, you don't know when you're going to go. Job's like, I don't know if I'm ever going to see good again. When life is short and you're extremely sick, hope of good days to come seem futile. They seem out of reach. Job appealed to his friends, therefore, to let him vent and say what he wanted to say, since it would all be over soon. So Job's like, hey, man, let me say what I got to say. You ever been there with a friend? So depressed, so disturbed, or maybe been there yourself? Job was overcome with depression and despair. And that is to be expected given his circumstances. In moments like these, only the grace of God working through all sorts of means will see you through. Only the grace of God. I thought about that. I had to get on and read the article of the man whose 14-year-old son got on the tower down in Florida. His 14-year-old son was 6'5", 340 pounds. The only ride he could get on was this tower. And his friend was next to him. And he said to his friend, he said, I don't feel good about this. If I don't make it, 14-year-old, said, if I don't make it, this happened last Thursday. If I don't make it, tell my father and my mother I love them. He didn't make it. He went up on the ride and he fell off. and he hit the ground and he was on his stomach. He was still breathing, but they couldn't save him. And this young man fell off this ride. I thought to myself, dear God, the level of suffering that in this life that people experience, that's the way it is. You understand? Job goes on in verse 8 and it says, the eye of him who sees me will see me no more. While your eyes are upon me, I shall no longer be. Job thinks this is the end. This is the end. I told the church at prayer on Tuesday, I took that that shingles vaccine and I thought I was at the end. Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. I was talking to my neighbor yesterday. She had the exact opposite experience. Not extreme like mine, but the first shot, she said, Pat, my arm swole up, big old red mark, all of this. I said, for real? I told the doctor when I got in there, I said, yo, doc, they tell me this is the doozy. She just kind of looked at me and kind of like nodded. She said, yeah, it is. I said, okay. Well, you know, hit me with it. It hurt going in, right? It hurt going in. But the next day, I went into AFib. My heart started racing, skipping beats. I was in AFib while I was working. And then when I got home, and they tell you about the side effects. You know how on TV you are, the side. I think I had every one of them. Man, my fingers from half to the end on both fingers went numb. Couldn't feel my fingers. This was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I was shivering, cold as I could be. My heart was racing. I was dizzy. I was so tired. I couldn't even go fill my truck up for the next day's work. I just shut the door. I took a pill to slow down my heart and I passed out in the chair. And when I woke up, I was all good. I woke up and I got on my chart and I got hold of my doctor. I said, yo, I just want you to know this is what went down. She's like, oh yeah. Yeah, that's the way, you know. I'm like, oh my, I will never take this thing again. You understand? Look here. That's some crazy business. And, so there was the second shot that I took that just brought on so much suffering, and pain. And I didn't know what was going on, disorientation and all of this. So Job goes on in verse 9 and says, as the cloud disappears and vanishes away, so he who goes down to the grave does not come up. Beautiful analogy, it's just negative. He said, he shall never return to his house, nor shall his place know him any more. Again, Job felt that death was imminent for him. And he is making this clear. Let's see. All right. Verse 11, therefore, I will not restrain my mouth. So Job said, because I'm going to die, or I feel like I'm going to die, he said, I'm going to turn loose everything I got to say. I'm going to let you have it. Amen. He says, therefore, I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. And, you know, when you're in the grip of great suffering, even the most restrained saint, you can be tempted to say and do things that they normally would not say or do. Remember John the Baptist when he sent disciples to Jesus? And because now he's in prison, right? And he's like, Jesus, are you the one? Yeah. But John was the one who said, The one who sent me to baptize says, the one upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, he's the one who baptizes with the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist, one who said to his disciples, behold the Lamb of God. Amen. But now because of suffering and affliction and oppression, he said, are you really the one? That's what suffering can do to you. That's what suffering is. That's why the pastor, Pastor Stanley, told me years ago when he was in a foreign country passing out Bibles that some hunter or whoever the boys running around with the guns found him and said, put a gun to his head and said, hey, are you passing out Bibles? And he's like, no. They said, what are you doing in the country? He's like,
See, when that affliction take a hold to you, we can say it over here. We're in America. I'm going overseas, pass out Bibles. That's right. Bless God. We're going to do the work of God. You get over there. Are you passing out Bible? What's the Bible? What's the Bible? You know, oh, look here. It'll do it to you. It'll do it to you. Remember Peter? Peter, weren't you in the garden with him? Him who? Who? Oh, no. You got the wrong person. My cousin. Look him up. Vinny. Yay. Now, it wasn't me. Look here. No, it wasn't me. And Moses brought up, even on Tuesday, Christ himself in the Garden of Gethsemane said, Father, if there is any other way, if there is any. Why? Because suffering and affliction, boy, it will change you. You think you know where you at. No, suffering and affliction will tell you. It'll show you where you are. Proverbs 31, verse 6 and 7. Give strong drink to him who is perishing. That Job would agree with this. Give strong drink to him who is perishing. In other words, the man who's about to die and he's suffering. Give him something to ease his pain. Come on. Our strong drink today is morphine or whatever. I don't know what drug it is, the greatest painkiller. I tried to look it up last night. I'm sitting there looking at what's the strongest painkiller. There were so many painkillers on this website. I thought, I ain't never heard of any of these things. I'm like, for real? I can't say these names. But he said, give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to those who are of bitter heart, who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty. We call it end of life care. When someone is in so much pain and death is imminent, we take them and yes, we do. We pump them full of drugs to keep them at least. Yeah, to keep the level of pain down. And he says, and remember his misery no more. I'll never forget going into a hospital visit of. Well, I've done it multiple times where to see a saint and the saint didn't even know I was there because they were in such pain and they were on so much medication because it was just now a matter of time. Right. Well, in Job's mind, that's where he is. He says, oh, I'm going to say what I'm going to say. I'm going to do what I need to do. So Job questions. He questions and he talks to God. He starts questioning God. We do the same. Joyce Meyer has a sermon titled, When God, When? And Why God, Why? Amen. Because we're no different. Job says, am I a sea or a sea serpent that you should guard over me, that you should set a guard over me? And yet one of the greatest lessons of the book of Job is that God is sovereign and he can do as he pleases with what belongs to him. And what belongs to him? Everything. Everything. Including you, Job. You belong to me. And at the end of the book, God shows up to Job and he says, Job, would you condemn me to justify yourself? Would you do that? Job was like, oh, no, I don't have anything to say. God said, no, you were running off at the mouth. Stand up like a man now. Stand up like a man. Job like, oh, no, I'm done. I'm done. It's like, yeah. Yeah. So God is sovereign and he can do as he pleases and is not to be accused or questioned. Of wrongdoing or by wrongdoing or injustice because God is just. I'm gonna stop there and finish the balance of this next Sunday. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you that your word is forever settled in heaven. We thank you, O God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Oh, my God. Father, I pray your people, O God, Lord, as we devour the word of God, as we read the word of God, Lord, that we're changed and we're transformed. Father, that we see Christ in the scripture, that we see our lives, that we see the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, God, working in your saints in scripture, working in us now, oh, God, we would see that we belong to you and not ourselves. Oh, God, we would see that you are sovereign, oh, God, and all things belong to you, oh, God. So we bow at your feet. We humble ourselves underneath your mighty hand that you might exalt us in due season. Oh, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you, O God, that your word says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Oh, God. So it matters not our suffering. It matters not our affliction, O God, for they are working for us, Lord, a far more and exceeding eternal weight of glory. So, Lord, I pray, O God, that as we walk with you, as your word is revealed to us, O God, Lord, that we would walk in trials, in sufferings, in afflictions, with our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For he who has begun a good work in us shall complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So have your way, Father. In our hearts, in our lives, in our marriages, in our homes, in our relationships, have your way, O God, and do as you please to your great glory, we pray. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we ask it. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you real good.